Time to find out the Spanish news for the week, and we're off to talk to Simon Hunter at El País Madrid. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
Good. It seems weird saying Happy New Year now, but I guess it is Happy New Year.
I know, it is a bit late. I don't know what the moratorium is on that kind of thing, but I think we're just in under the wire.
If I knew what moratorium meant, I'd agree with you. Now, I guess you being a kind of mixed Spanish Brit family, do you have two Christmases?
Oh, my God. So my first son was born on the 13th of December. My first son was born today, 4 years ago.
Oh.
My second son was born on the 13th of December.
Crikey.
There are exactly 4 weeks between those dates. So it goes like this. I have a birthday, I have Christmas, I have New Year, I have King's Day, I have my other son's birthday. So it's an absolute
goodness
nightmare. But yeah, we did Christmas in the UK. It works out nicely, actually. You do Christmas in the UK and then King's with the Spanish family.
Fair
so everyone's
enough.
Happy.
Fair
yeah.
enough. Well, but in years to come, he's going to have a nightmare to buy presents for.
I know. It already is. They're only 4 and 1, and I'm already running out of ideas. I don't know what we're going to do.
Love it. Right. So let's start with a bit of politics, but this is an important one, and it's an Andalusia story.
Yep. So Andalusia, we had regional elections before Christmas, and not by no means a certain outcome, because the Socialist Party have governed in Andalusia for 36 years. Mm. They won the most seats, but they fell short of a majority. The PP and Citizen, Ciudadanos, did pretty well. Got more seats, but the big surprise was the emergence of this Vox party, this extreme right party, which picked up 12 seats. It kind of surprised everyone. They've been running on an anti-immigration put a ticket, on an anti radical feminism. They don't seem to like women very much. They're always talking about feminists, and they don't like the Spain's gender violence law, because they say it discriminates against men, all those poor beaten up men that we're always reading about in the Spanish headlines. So since then, there's been talks going on, because the PP, the Popular Party, the Conservative Popular Party, and Ciudadanos basically want to chuck out the Socialist Party, and they're pretty much prepared to, it looked like they were prepared to do it at all costs. But of course, that means, Vox here is the kingmaker. It holds the key, because the Popular Party and Ciudadanos don't have enough seats to form a government by themselves. So they need Vox. So negotiations have been going on. Basically, the PP and Citizens have agreed, on their deal. But of course, they need the help of Vox. And Vox has just come along and said, okay, well, here's our list of 19 demands. And as I mentioned, they include the repeal of legislation that affords protection to women and LGBT groups, plus the creation of new laws to protect bullfighting, hunting, and popular culture and tradition. So very sort of conservative. They're really much like the sort of, Trump's sort of make Spain great again, basically.
Right. Yes.
And Spaniards first. But probably the most eye-catching demand is that they want to deport 52,000 undocumented migrants from Spain, and also eliminate public subsidies for supremacist feminism and Islamic associations. Now, this list of demands came out yesterday. The PP has already come out and said, no, sorry, this is unacceptable. Citizens has completely refused to meet with Vox. The problem with Citizens is that it is getting tarred with a bit of a sort of nationalistic, Spain first brush as well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if they want to kind of look after their image, then getting into bed with Vox is not really the most sensible thing that they can do. So they're kind of they're being very careful with this whole process. So what's going to happen? I don't know. The Vox leader, Santiago Abascal, he says that this is a list of negotiable proposals. So it's a kind of sort of a starting point for a negotiation. But they are pretty, they are pretty extreme. And let's not forget, Andalusia is the most populous region of Spain. It was 400,000 Andalusians who voted in favor of Vox. They've got 12 seats, a majority in the, I think it's 50 seats off the top of my head. So they're in a position where they can obviously, you know, they can make their demands, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to get their way. I think the slightly worrying thing, you know, about this whole process is the amount of publicity and sort of oxygen that this is giving Vox, you know, in a year when we're definitely going to see local and regional elections. And we could actually see a general election because of the precarious position of the current Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez. I might have said this to you before. I know I've said it on the radio before a couple of times that we've been able to be quite smug in Spain, you know, all these years and say, oh, no, we don't have any of that sort of stuff here, you know, in terms of the far right parties and this sort of, you know, anti-immigration, anti-feminism discourse. But it's here, and let's see what happens. Let's see if it's here to stay.
Interesting. Not unconnected, the next one, another kind of slightly political one, but this, the politicians in Spain are, of course, renowned for being very open and honest and forthcoming with information.
Yes, well, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, as I'm sure your listeners remember, he came to power after filing a motion of no confidence against the previous Prime Minister, Mariano Rajoy. And the straw that broke the camel's back for Rajoy and his popular party was corruption. And so the Socialist Party has long been calling for, you know, an end to corruption and more transparency and all this kind of stuff. Apparently, that doesn't apply to Pedro Sanchez's official private jet, which he likes to fly around the country in. And he even, you know, in the summer, hang on, when's the Benicassim Festival? I think it's at the beginning of July. So he'd been the prime minister for just a little over a month. And he just happened to go and have a meeting with a local mayor in Benicassim when the FIB festival was going on and just took advantage. He flew in on his jet and just took advantage of that visit. He went to see the Killers. He went to see the Killers play at Benicassim, which was very nice for him. I think he's probably trying to, you know, look a bit cool and young and hip and whatever, but young, cool hipsters don't fly into music festivals on their private jets. No. So, unbelievably, the Socialist Party government is actually hiding behind a Franco-era law to not make public how much money all this jetting around is costing. It's the 1968 official secrets law. But El País spoke to legal experts and they said, well, you know, the government's saying it's a security issue and they can't release details, but legal experts are saying, well, come on, you know, one thing is security reasons, you know, not revealing his movements or, you know, that kind of detail. And another thing is saying, well, this is what it costs. In fact, they came up with a figure for the Benicassim visit of, you know, the protocol cost, which was something like 280 euros. Well, if I can get a private jet somewhere for 280 euros, I'd be flying all over the place. So it doesn't sound very likely. And I think, you know, Pedro Sanchez, people call him an ocupa, you know, someone who's squatting in the prime ministerial palace, i.e. someone who's kind of, you know, wormed his way in there and doesn't, you know, isn't sort of, you know, entitled to be in there, which of course is complete rubbish. It's, you know, parliamentary monarchy, and he was voted in by parliament, so he's got every right to be there, but he's probably wants to sort of err on the side of caution when it comes to doing things like this, just for his public image alone.
Wow. It's a similar story, but in a much younger chap. I don't know if you've seen the reports, and Morocco have denied this, that Crown Prince Moulay El Hassan has just had, I believe, his 18th birthday, and he got given a brand new Gulfstream G650 jet with a personalised registration.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Absolute power and all that.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Right, and finally, the drug dealer mansions of southern Spain. That sounds like one of those kind of shows like The Housewives of Cheshire.
Yes, exactly. MTV's Cribs, you know, down in southern Spain. So, yeah, this is another Andalusian story. We've been talking a lot about the drug gangs. The drug gangs have been very visible in the news in recent, I guess over the last year. In particular, that I'm sure you remember that the leader of that gang, Los Castañas, Francisco Tejon, he turned up. He was on the run from the police and he turned up in that reggaeton music.
Yes, that was a great story.
Yeah, that was pretty much the end of him. He turned himself in, and he is now behind bars. But of course, as we all know, anyone that's watched any kind of movie about the drug trade knows that as soon as, you know, someone is arrested or steps aside or is killed or whatever, someone else will come in to take their place. So the drug gangs are thriving. There's just too much money to be had in the south. It's all about hashish trafficking up from coming in from Morocco. And this is actually connected. I mean, basically, what this story is, just to sum it up, the police have arrested 16 people who illegally bought these 14 luxury homes in La Línea de la Concepción. It was a completely unregulated purchase of the land. The land wasn't classified for building. It was a typical, you know, story that we've seen, not so much these days, but during the boom years in Spain, you know, building on land that's protected. No building permits, nothing like that. These luxury villas, there's, you know, obviously they're for drug dealers. They're, the construction of them helps with the actual laundering of the funds. But then the other thing is, the interesting point is that these villas and these houses, they give the drug kings now somewhere to hide out. It's like a maze of, and that's what Tejon was doing. He was moving, you know, people knew that he was moving around. I think he was reportedly, you know, moving around on a motorcycle, so obviously he had a helmet on, and he's just moving around this maze and, you know, network of villas. So it's all kind of connected. So good to see that this is actually, something's actually been done about this, because, you know, God knows, who knows how many other developments or houses or villas there are like this around in the area. The suspects that they've arrested, they face zoning violation charges, which could mean prison terms of 1 to 3 years, but it'll probably just be financial penalties, and then the homes will get teared down. When it comes to trial, they won't even touch on whether the drug money was laundered through the land sale. It's just going to focus on the illegal building. But I mean, everyone knows what's going on around here. But it's and of course, while, as we know, court cases and bureaucracy in Spain can take such a long time. And while this drags through the courts and while these things are going on, it's just more are going to spring up around the place. It's just, you know, there's still too much land to be built on, and, and too much money to be made from doing this kind of thing. But good to see that, at least we've had some arrests.
Absolutely. Well, I'll wave to you next time I cross in my private jet, Simon, as I cross Madrid.
On your way to your luxury villa.
That's exactly right. Yes, indeed. Yes, and to a music festival then after that. So if people want to find out more about those and other stories, they can find them by Googling El País in English, and you will find them all there.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Bill.
Marvellous. We'll speak again in a couple of weeks' time.
Definitely.
Cheers, Simon. All the best. Bye-bye.